You guys sound good today. Look, yeah, you really do. Yeah. Look to your left and right and say, hey, man, you sound good. You sound good. Now look to the other side and say, you look as good as they sound. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. I'm excited to be back with you guys this morning. I was away last week. I had to tend to some family business, as you guys know. Do I look different? No. Thank you. That one's for you, Maggie. She's watching from a distance right now. She will be moving on Friday, and she will start her time with us. She's said again and again, I cannot wait till I'm down there with you guys. I can't wait either. I'm not in trouble yet, so let's keep that going. Guys, we're off to a good start. I have something special that I want to share with you this morning, and that's maybe the other side of the coin of me. One side of me is really nerdy. You guys know that. We're not going there today. But the other side of me is competitive. The other side of me used to be an athlete. Now, that hurts to say, used to be. No, still, just not competitively. The other side of me is counting down till the start of football season. And I spent the last week actually getting in trouble for counting down football season instead of the days till I was about to get married. It's just hard, okay? But there's something about sports that is in my blood. I think that it's such a good microcosm of life for many of us. Any athletes in the room? Sports? Basketball, football, cheerleading, dance, chess, whatever's on ESPN these days, whatever's there. Cornhole. It's harder than it looks. I got to give you credit. If you're good at cornhole, you probably had a good jump shot back in the day. Sports are a great leveling ground, okay? There's something about going to battle with your comrades that you can only learn when you're in that environment. There's something about sports that allows us to really set aside a lot of other differences that usually get in the way, because there are people that would never, ever speak to each other at work, and there are people that would never, ever sit beside each other at church, but for some reason, in a multi-decked stadium on a Saturday around 1 o'clock, they'll hug each other. They'll scream in exuberance, and just bodily fluids are going everywhere, and some dudes don't have their shirt on. It's really bizarre how sports can level the playing field, as it were, in our relationships. But there's something even more valuable about it, and I think it's the experience of being a part of something bigger than yourself that is a really valuable teaching tool. Now, it happens in sports, it happens in other organizations like Boy Scouts and things like that too. But about this time of year, people are in training camp. The grass that used to be freshly cut and smell so good is now artificial turf, so you don't really smell anything except rubber beads all over the place. And something really funny happens as you make it through conditioning on a team, whether it's football or basketball. But for the sake of the example, we're going to say football today, because you start out in shorts and helmets, and then shoulder pads get added, and you run around and you do skill drills and do 7-on-7, and then something really weird happens on the day of first live contact. 9-year-olds everywhere realize that this is not just dancing to the end zone anymore. This is not just looking really cool and making mom and dad proud. You realize on the day of live contact, I'm in danger. I've got way more on the line here than I thought when I just wanted this cool uniform and this shiny helmet and these cleats and all the tape and all that stuff. You realize on the first day of contact that this is about to demand something of you. And it's at that point that every person that straps it up needs to decide if they're really there for the right reason or not. And it's also on that day that everyone who else is a part of that team gets to see whether that person is in it with them or that person was there in it for themselves. There is nothing that brings a group of people together more than having that level of investment, that level of danger at times, being on the line. After you get through the drama of the first day of live contact and hooting and hollering and drills that they probably are going to outlaw, and as they legislate contact, as you get through all of that, you have a scrimmage where you get to turn that against the other team. And then it's not about what you're doing to each other, but it's about the fact that you walk out there arm in arm, and now it's you versus the opponent. And a lot of the same kids that were scared and fearful because the first day of live contact was a rude wake-up call are now brothers in arms, going to battle together, willing to lay it on the line for each other. There's something about that experience that can't be taught. There's something that is different about being in a brotherhood like that, partners together, than there is just being a member of the team. You ever known someone who just wanted to wear the jersey? They just wanted to be a part of the club. There's a social element that you get for being a part of the team, for just being a member. And I just want you to think about those experiences that maybe you've had or maybe you've witnessed or you've certainly seen movies about. It happens in different theaters, whether it's sports or whether it's someone who has served in the armed forces or someone who's a part of our civil service now who helps domestically. The very same attitudes are present in very different arenas of life. And I want you to think about that as we look at what Paul is going to write to the Philippians, because I think it's appropriate that we try and meet on this equal ground today as a family. Now, Paul writes to the Philippians that he thanks God in all of his remembrance of them, always in every prayer of mine, for you making all prayers with joy. Hold that word, joy. But in verse 5 at the beginning of the book, he tells them why. He says to them, I make remembrance of you in every prayer, and I pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm going to make a big deal about this word partnership that he uses. And we're going to dig in on partnership as opposed to membership today. Because it's one thing to be a member of a community. It's one thing to be a member of a team. It's one thing to be a member of a church, especially as we have come to see it in our modern paradigm, where membership constitutes a very different thing and different meaning and different expectations than what Paul is conveying about the relationship he had with the Philippians. Membership is different than partnership. That's the first thing that I want to suggest this morning. What does it mean to be a member of something? A member, simply defined, someone or thing that is an individual comprising a group. In this church context, we would say, what is a member of the church? Maybe someone who formally placed membership. If you want to do that, scan that QR code that's on the front of the bulletin. We would love to have that. Please don't take this as a railing accusation against it. I'm just saying we want to go a little bit further. You might say it's someone who's been baptized into Christ. Common memberships and what they mean have changed the way that we think about membership, though, because words mean things, words meant things, and words have come to mean things. So when I think about membership, I'm thinking about that Sam's Club card. By the way, some people laughed because they have a Sam's Club card. Everyone else is judging me because they use Costco instead, and they look as Sam's Club as inferior. I want you guys to know how much judgment there is between those two warring factions right now. We all have the cards for samples. That's why we're there. But if I have that card, I almost feel inconvenienced if I have to actually flash it to get in the door. I don't know whose angry grandmother is there just to try and keep me away from that sample aisle. I wouldn't be coming if I wasn't supposed to be here to buy at wholesale. There are things that come with this card and this membership that I'm entitled to. Or maybe it's a membership to a local gym. You go to the gym. This is my bench press, and nobody better be on my bench press, even though there are other members there. And for those of you that don't work out, you think that's silly, except when you walked into church this morning, you said, that's my seat. I'm not even going to say it, hey, can I sit here where I usually, I'm just going to be bitter about it from across the room and get here a little bit earlier next week. It comes with the trappings of entitlement. Or you're a member of a PTA and you should have a say on how things are being run in the school. That is understandable. Sure, maybe you're the member of an HOA and you feel like you should have some say about how things are run in the neighborhood. I don't mean to bring up continually sore point after sore point, but you get what I'm saying. our conception of membership is very different than what Paul is describing when he talks about the partnership in the gospel that they have. 2 weeks ago, we talked about Isaiah and how he was a member of God's people. Not just that, a member of the royal family. Not just that, a person with political say and influence. But after he encountered God face to face, he was in partnership with the God of the universe. There was a difference in his life just being a member of God's people and being a partner with God and what he was doing through God's people. So our modern practice and subconscious understanding of membership is one in which we generally pay dues, we complete a task or set of qualifications, and then we receive those sweet, sweet benefits that are associated with the title of member. And every organization that we're a part of will lean into this. If you pull out your AAA card, it'll say member for 3 years. And you're like, awesome, I haven't used this one time, but that's 3 years. And next year I get the gold one. And if I ever break down on the side of the road, I still can't use it because I feel unmanly not being able to change a spare tire. But I'm a member. As long as your membership is active, you can expect and even demand what you are entitled to as a member. And you might say, now I just paid my dues like everyone else. I paid good money for this membership. It's very transactional in nature. It's not a relational engagement. And in an overwhelming amount of instances, a membership is about what you can get from it. And doesn't that sound a little too eerily familiar to the way that sometimes we express ourselves in a church context? Because when I get upset about something that happens at church, I've been coming here for 23 years. I love the people that I'm getting to know here at Leander, and no one has used that this way to me, so I want to get that out of the way. No one has said something to me that tripped this wire. But there are several folks who I've met here who have said, I've been here from the beginning. First of all, wow, that is a testament to faith. That is awesome. Second, we ought to know that's very present in our minds when we start to think about things in a church context. And that influences how we believe things ought to be done. And it is natural with this understanding of membership for us to say, now I've been coming here for this long, the least you could do was do it my way. That's what we all really mean. I wonder what kind of look we may get from Jesus on the day of judgment if we stroll up spouting about how we paid our dues, as if the kingdom of heaven was some spiritual Sam's Club or Costco where we can earn blessings at wholesale Sunday after Sunday. There's a person on that football field later this year that just wants the uniform. And then there's a person who will put themselves on the line for the betterment of the team. So what does it mean to be a partner? What is Paul so joyous and happy about in his relationship that he has with the Philippians? What we ought to be attaining to? What we should be shooting for? What does that even look like? Being a partner or seeing yourself as a partner is something very different. In this passage, this word that is used is a word that's familiar to us. It's koinonia. It means a fellowship or a participation. And it's not just the fellowship that happens every fifth Sunday around a bowl of that sweet, sweet, succulent banana pudding. Like, it's more than just the fellowship meal, which is unfortunately what we've reduced fellowship to in the church so often. It's an active participation. This word, koinonia, is actually defined as someone who shares, a partaker, one associated with another, especially in action. Also, additionally, two who dance together, persons who work together against an opposing side, a person with whom one shares an intimate relationship. Personal inventory is all around in the house today. I want you to stop and think about your relationship with your church family. Can you be described, well, we don't dance in here, everything else that I said, can you be described as someone who's in an intimate relationship with the people around you, with the mission and partnership around you? Being a partner means you have something invested in the enterprise. There was a lot invested. We're going to talk about this later in the book of Acts. But what happened at Philippi, the people that Paul was writing to, Paul showed up there and he went and discipled a lady named Lydia, who was a rich seller of purple. She started a church in her house. After that, Paul cast a demon out of a servant girl that made the owners very mad. They had Paul beaten and thrown into prison. Then an earthquake happens. There's a natural disaster. Paul says, "Hey, I'm still here." And the jailer's like, "What is this? Who are you people? What are you doing?" And that very night, he and his household go and are baptized and become members of that church in that very same house, in this very same place. There's a dramatic sequence of events that lead to Paul saying to these people, "We have been through it together. We are in partnership together, even in my bonds." It means you have something at stake. Being a partner means that the destiny of what you are committed to is also your destiny. In today's world, do you see the destiny of this community of God's people as your destiny? Or is it something that if it starts to go awry, man, we are in that southern tip of that sparkly gold buckle of the Bible Belt, and there's plenty of churches, and I can just hop from boat to boat. Being a partner doesn't mean you're just hanging around, enjoying the benefits, hoping that things go well. Being a partner means you're fully invested in seeing that vision become a reality. It means that you are a part of what this thing is going to become. And it means that you are also responsible for what it is going to become too. What are the results of real partnership or relationship like in the lives around us? I wasn't here last week because I was busy getting married. Entering a partnership, one where, yes, you become members of one another, but if you don't approach it as a real partnership, do you think that it's going to last? I heard this said once about what that relationship ought to look like. And I think it's an appropriate metaphor for us to explore because the New Testament spends so much time comparing the church to the bride of Christ. It says, within this Christian vision for marriage, here is what it means to fall in love. It is to look at another person and get a glimpse of the person God is creating and say, "I see who God is making you and it excites me. I want to be a part of that. I want to partner with you and God in the journey you are taking to his throne." I want you to substitute your vision for church in there and think about that. When you look at your church family, this community here, do you say, "I see what God is making in you and that excites me. I want to be a part of that as we go towards God's throne together. And when we get there, I will look at your magnificence and say, I always knew you could be like this. I got glimpses of it while I was here. But now, look at you." Each spouse should see the great thing that Jesus is doing in the life of their mate through the word, the gospel. Each spouse should give him or herself to be a vehicle for that work and envision the day that you will stand together before God, seeing each other presented in spotless beauty and glory. Man to wife, wife to husband, and brother to sister, sister to brother, as the bride of Christ in this place. We always knew we could be like this on that day. What if we approached a marriage partnership with the same mentality that sometimes we approach our church partnership? What if one of the partners just begins showing up and mailing it in? What happens when the marriage partnership becomes transactional and not relational? What happens when that partnership, when God uses his word time and time again to describe Christ's relationship with the church, becomes a system of box checking, rigid, systematic deed counting, and intentional overtures intentionally aimed at keeping the peace or simply proving that you are right versus the other party? What happens in a relationship where that becomes the definition? The difference is in the investment. The difference is the reason you are in relationship. So let's look at Paul's relationship with Philippi for a few more moments this morning. And there's so much packed into a couple of verses very tightly. You know, in verse 3, he says, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you." Just a quick question. This is for me and everyone else. Who in this room have you thanked God for today? We're going to pray in a little while. Let's be thankful for one another. The first marker of Paul's relationship and partnership with the family in Philippi is that it is marked with gratitude, and Paul always giving thanks for them. He is grateful for his partners. In verse 6, it says this, "I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ." Gratitude is expressed in verse 3, and then growth is acknowledged in verse 6. These are the identifying marks of a real partnership in Christ. Gratitude and growth. Paul is invested in their growth in Christ. He sees himself as a participant and an instrument in this. The relationship is symbiotic. So, who in this room have you thanked God for today? And who in this room do you see yourself as an instrument to help accelerate and enrich and enable their growth? I don't fault anybody for waking up this morning and coming here and hoping that the sermon was going to be good. You don't have to tell me if it's not. But we have this thing where I'm going to get fed today. I'm going to get a good word. But the result of consumption without production in every system in the universe is always depression. So if we are involved in this relationship just to consume, even if it's really, really good, the result is not going to be what we're seeing between Paul and the Philippians here. In verse 7, he actually continues with this. He says, "Then, it is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are partakers of me with grace." So we have gratitude, we have growth, and we have grace. Paul actually gives credit to their partnership for his imprisonment and ministry. Even when Paul explains later in this letter that he is torn between being with Christ and remaining there with them, he says that it is for the benefit of his partners that he wishes to remain. He says, I could imagine anyone saying, but because I have business to finish here, but because I want to finish what I started, it's better for me to hang around. I hope that I get to stay because there are things I want to accomplish. There's life that I have not lived. There's things that I have not experienced, but that's not what Paul's thought is at all. It's better for you if I remain. I'd rather be with Jesus, but you know what? If he needs me here to help you guys continue to grow in grace and gratitude in this partnership, then that is also better for me. Ask yourself this question truly deep down inside. When things are not going your way here, will you remain for the benefit of your brother or your sister? Membership is about me. Partnership is about everybody around me. Membership is about me. Partnership has to be about you. And this is all threaded through the letter. Verses 1 through 11 that were the scripture that we read this morning. I just want you to listen to what Paul is actually saying. See what he's actually doing here, right? He says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance for you in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership from the first day until now. He has begun a good work in you and will bring it to completion because I hold you in my heart, for you are partakers with me in grace. God is my witness how I yearn for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus. It is my prayer that your love may abound more and more so that you may approve what is excellent." All verses 1 through 11, Paul is setting the stage saying, this partnership we have together in the gospel, my chief aim, my concern, my motivation is you. You, you, you. He doesn't say, "I'm really happy to hear you guys are holding strong in the faith. Do you remember what happened to me when I was there? Do you remember all I suffered? I hope you're praying for me." You, you, you. Is that me? Is the question that I need to ask this morning. When I think about my family, my church, my community, God's pocket of his kingdom here, is my chief concern, my motivation, my drive, me? or is it you? So this morning, what I'm giving is really an invitation to a new view of you. Because this passage always challenges me to take a self-inventory. And I challenge everyone here to take a self-inventory, to ask this question born of this text: am I a partner in the gospel here? Or am I merely a member here? Is church to me another pay my dues, receive the benefit transaction in my life? Or am I committed to the vision and mission of what God is doing here? Am I like Paul saying, I know he has begun a good work here, and I yearn eagerly to see him complete it in you? Am I here for me, or am I here for them? Am I here for me, or am I here for him? Is my relationship with this community of God's people transactional, or is it relational? Am I engaged for the transforming and renewing of my mind, or am I just paying my dues and biding my time? Partnership in the gospel is more than a statement of where you worship. It is a commitment to the mission and relationships, valuable people created in God's image, that hang in the balance. Some of us have been and are currently members of gyms, other organizations. We pay fees, we pay dues, we have access to the club, and we expect certain things: nice equipment, working lockers, a say, a vote, pleasant staff. We pay for what we get as members. And if we don't get what we like, we leave. But with partnership, this mindset shifts to something totally different. Now we're investing ourselves. We have mutual goals and collaboration. And it's the relationships that matter: friends, family, significant others. There's a sense of investing ourselves and putting our energy into something enduring, larger than us. Only those who invest in relationships will see the investment grow. This example, to me, of Paul's partnership with the Philippians shows us that there's power in giving. And being part of a mission that is bigger than ourselves, it's better to be a part of the crew than to be one who's just hopping from boat to boat to boat. And it's hard when the rest of our lives are organized around that principle. If I'm not using what you're moving, then what are you doing? Sometimes I think we settle for a small dream of what it means to be the church family. Many times we're content simply to attend, but I would argue, and Paul would argue, that we're made for more than just showing up. The word partnership means many things, but one thing it does not mean is to simply be present. Partnership carries the weight of action and involvement. So as we close this morning, the challenge is one of a mindset shift. How do you see your position with regards to this church community? Are you merely a member? Are you more than a member here? Are you a partner in the gospel here? Are you in action? Are you participating? Are you growing in gratitude and in grace? Are you bought in and sold on the reality that when a community of members elevates to a community of partners, the end result is always God showing up and showing off? I want you to know that anyone can transfer a membership, but you know what you can't transfer? A partnership. That's in your blood. That's who you are. The amazing thing about this deal is that Jesus himself invested all of himself to enter a partnership with us, and he literally put his blood in the deal. He literally gave everything that he had for the betterment of us, to see a good work started and completed and done in us. He bought you, he bought me, so the least that we can do is be bought in return. If you are not a Christian and you're here this morning, I want you to know that becoming one isn't about just calling yourself a member. God will make you a member of his church, yes. But don't miss the incredible reality that God is inviting you just like he invited Isaiah 2 weeks ago in chapter 6, into something far greater, a partnership. He's inviting you to be in partnership with him and what he's doing in this world. There's a place for you at his table. None of us deserve it, but it's the beautiful message of the gospel. God is inviting us all to a partnership that he's fully invested himself into. He's bought in, and together in that partnership exists grace, growth, and gratitude. And from those, the same joy that Paul is able to express about his partners in the gospel in Philippi. Church, let's commit to whatever God wants to do here at Leander. Let's be partners in that effort together. Let's be more than members. Christ is bought in, so we can be bought in what he's doing here. If we can serve you in any way, please come as we stand together.